Welcome to The Practical Intuitive. We're each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and this show is being pre-recorded. I am an intuitive and spiritual consultant and certified past life regression specialist based in Seattle, Washington, and it is my honor to host this podcast radio show every first and third Monday at ohmtimes.com radio. Today, my show is a very special show in that I am telling the world for the first time about the horse healers. So today's show, I'm calling Lessons from the Horse Healers. If you have questions or comments on this show, you are most cordially invited to email me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's robinfritz.com. And as we start each show, get you grounded and balanced with the space for us, imagine that you're connecting to the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz. He's a powerful healer and truth bringer. And part of the reason that I have the kinds of experiences I do have in the world. So if you take your attention to the top of your head, we're just going to breathe down from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and back up again. Just going to get grounded and balanced in this space with us today. And this is healing, too, that you can tap for your own use as you join here in community. Breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Just feel yourself getting grounded and balanced, the blocks of the day, clearing out just everything that kept you busy until this moment that you could share with community. And breathing up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head, your crown chakra. So lessons from the horse healers. So some of the most powerful healers on the planet are horses. Their ability to heal other horses in community is, as I discovered, far more powerful than anything humans are currently doing, let alone contemplating. So I'm hoping that those of you who are actively using your healing abilities, and again, we are all intuitives and healers, will get some ideas from the stories I'm going to share with you today. As I discovered when I met the horse healers, horses are powerful, multidimensional beings with stunning abilities that boldly reflect the depth of their spiritual and their communal lives. And so I'm going to tell you the story today of how I met the horse healers, and it goes back to my love of horse racing, my love of horses in general, horse spirituality, and the value of souls, no matter the bodies that they are in. If you've joined me in any of my earlier podcasts or on my Facebook Lives at the Humanity Healing page, you know that the mindset that I talk about, I call planetary connection. I learned from working with non-humans, regardless of what they are, including hurricanes, weather systems, volcanoes, animals, trees, our homes and our businesses, everything, whether we think of it as animate or not, everything has a soul, is conscious, has a job to do, a responsibility to do that job, free choice about doing that, and opinions. And all life is equal to us. And the story I'm going to share today is mind-blowing on a scale that I hope you appreciate in terms of understanding how much more there is to the world than we think about or even know. And it's because we're not always paying attention. We don't always know what to pay attention to. And sometimes, if you're like me, you just fall over things in your work. Now, I'm talking today about horses who heal other horses with an innate energy healing ability that is beyond what we humans currently know, even with all of our complex energy healing systems that we have created. So we are all here on this planet learning to heal, which is also learning to love. And humans, I know, have forgotten most of our past lives. And so in many ways, we've forgotten our connections to the world around us. And interestingly enough, it is horses who have in part taken on the job of really helping us be more connected to the world around us. And it's an interesting way that I discovered this. So the world I travel in my intuitive work is sometimes strange and esoteric, and I've learned to trust my intuition and to be respectful and brave when I meet beings most of us don't know exist and whose jobs we don't even begin to grasp because we just haven't talked with them. We haven't known that they were there. And in my work as an animal communicator, as an intuitive, I meet the hidden and plain sight reality where animals and other beings freely associate with each other. And I've learned to work with them. And so let me tell you about the horse healers. And it starts with what I call the horse's butt theory. And proof that I have a sense of humor and that some of us kind of know what's going to happen, which precognition is one of the most common intuitive abilities we have. It's designed to help us save our lives. It's also tied to the intuitive ability of claircognizance. And I'll skip past today my early stories of connecting to racehorses. Let me just say that I accidentally started talking with racehorses in the post parades of racing that I was watching on television. And I was surprised in the same way that I was surprised when I first started talking to a hurricane. I was just exclaiming about something and thinking about it like you think about, you talk about your animals or other people that you know or your house, and then suddenly it's talking back to you. And so I started talking with racehorses, and I thought, well, that's really cool and interesting. And one of those horses I'm telling you about that will figure in this story of the horse healers is a racehorse called Smarty Jones. Smarty Jones ran in what we call the Triple Crown of Horse Racing in 2004, which is the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. What was really interesting to me about Smarty Jones is the level of interest in him as a racehorse and as an athlete that we don't normally see outside of horse racing circles. Now, I've been a horse racing fan since I was 12. And, you know, right now I don't want to get into all of the politics around horse racing. It's the people who really take care of their horses are learning about them. They're learning how to respond to them. And it's part of our growth cycle in the human-animal bond. We've grown up, as I've talked about many times before, from the ancient necessity of banding together to survive to what I call heart and soul growth. We learn that in our animal families, and we also learn it by looking at these racehorses. And I'm sure there are other animals and human connections that I'm not as familiar with as racehorses. But Smarty Jones was a really interesting example of what's happening with horses and humans. Here was a little horse who run, a very inexpensive horse who won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. And those, you know, it's an artificial construct, the Triple Crown, but it's a way, it's a goal for race racing professionals. It's fun for people to watch. And what was really interesting, that is, other horses had managed to win those first two legs of the three race series, but none of them had the kind of attention that was devoted to Smarty Jones. Everywhere you went up into the Belmont Stakes, which is 3 weeks after the second leg of the Triple Crown, people are in the grocery store checkout lines wondering. People who had never watched horse racing before were glued to the TV ready for the Belmont Stakes. And as Smarty walked into the gate at the Belmont Stakes, I was like, oh my God, he's going to lose. Because it was at that point, as he walked into that gate, and as I had been chatting with him over the course of several weeks, as I had learned to connect with racehorses remotely, as he walked into the gate, Smarty Jones remembered his past lives, who he was in a past life, a very powerful human in our human history. And he went like, oh my gosh, I'm in a horse body. And he was so distracted that affected his performance, and he lost that race. And while that was disappointing to a lot of people, what else was wrong was the same thing that was wrong with another horse who followed him, called Fleet Alex. Smarty Jones had sore feet, and he was trying not to let people know that. He was trying to run, and he hid his pain. But after the Belmont Stakes, he couldn't hide that pain anymore. And he never raced again. They started to realize what was wrong with him, with his sore feet. And you need to protect your horse from possibly fatal injury, and also, especially in this day and age, for breeding prospects. But while that was disappointing, I was glad that he was saved to be healthy. He was one of those horses, or beings, if you will, a soul in a horse body, that I call a leavening agent, a great soul whose presence and example help heal the world by leading others to become their best selves. So surprisingly enough, if you think about it, and maybe it's because I'm interested in horse racing, and because of that, I focused on racehorses. But racehorses are some of these leading leavening agents in the world right now. And he was really one of the first ones that I recognized. And recognizing that in him, I went to a few other animal communicators I know and said, oh, you know, could you check this and chat with this racehorse and tell me what you think? And that's a proper way to go about any sort of investigation if you're looking at scientific or any kind of investigation, is what are you noticing from this situation? What are you getting from that? Without leading them astray by feeding them information, or what I thought. And they came back with the same answer, how amazing this horse Smarty Jones was. And there are lots of reasons for the excitement over him. But they were people that were connecting to this horse in a deeply personal and spiritual way. People that are drawn to their animal companions in the same way. And yet they were remotely connecting to this horse, to his what I call leavening agent abilities. And they were beginning to see things in horses that they hadn't seen in non-humans before. And that's what we want, right? We want growth. We want people to continue to wake up from the blinkers that we placed on ourselves over the last 300 years and devoting everything to science. You know, they retired Smarty to stud duty, and you know, he had a long line of people who were coming to see him. So I am telling that story because he figures in the rest of the story. And I want to move on to talk briefly about another racehorse called a Fleet Alex. So in 2005, a Fleet Alex was on the Triple Crown stage, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. So this is a year after Smarty Jones. And during the Preakness, as he came around the final turn, he collided with a horse in front of him. And at the same time as he collided, I felt this sharp pain in my arm. And I'm like, wow, what is that? And I recognized that I had somehow connected with him intuitively, so that intuitive sense of clear feeling, I was literally connecting with him. And I said to the person I was watching races with, he's hurt. He's injured in that spot. And just like Smarty, I tried to talk with a Fleet Alex over the next few weeks to tell him to share that pain with his trainer, to let this trainer know that he was injured and he'd moan and groan about being hurt. But he wanted to race. He loved to race, and he didn't want to fail to race. And so he continued to appear healthy and won the Belmont Stakes, but he still continued to have issues. And I kept telling him, you need to tell your trainer, you need to indicate to him what was going on. And he finally did, because Smarty Jones jumped in the conversation, okay, and this is all happening intuitively, and told him, hey, you need to talk to him so you get to continue to race instead of what happened to me. I didn't get to continue to race. Well, Alex did not race again because they did find an underlying injury, and it turned out to be in the exact place that I had pinpointed it during the Preakness Stakes. That my feeling it in my arm led me to figure out where that was on the horse body, and it was in that exact space that he suffered a condylar fracture and has been retired to stud. But in the meantime, before all of that happened, he would pop in and he'd be moaning and groaning, and I'd say, why aren't you talking to your trainer? You want to race again? Tell him what's wrong. Show him where your leg hurts. And Smarty would chime in and say, do it or you'll end up like me, you know, retired. And then he'd laugh because he wanted to continue to race, and Smarty wanted to continue to race, and he couldn't. And Fleet Alex was retired, and we're going to go to break here in a second, and then I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of the horse healers and what happened next and what the horse's butt theory is and how that all comes together. So hang on, we'll be right back.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out, and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about lessons from the horse healers. And there's a buildup to this, so you can understand kind of what I was feeling and how I was feeling it, and to give you ideas for how you might use these lessons in your own life. So to quickly summarize, I had become aware of injuries in two racehorses, Barbaro and Barbaro's coming next, Smarty Jones and a Fleet Alex. And I had talked with other racehorses before that and understood why they wanted to run or why they didn't want to run and saw the outcome of that. And it was difficult for me, as it would difficult for anyone. I could see the injuries. I knew exactly where the injuries were. I knew they were career-ending injuries. I would try to get the horses to speak to their people, and eventually they did, but it was frustrating because it could only help to a certain point, right? And so you know something is happening, and you can only help to a certain point. That's like crazy-making and disturbing. And, you know, if you're someone like me and you kind of know what's coming down the pike, which people pay me for, right? People pay me to look at what's coming down the pike. You need to maintain a really good, healthy, balanced and grounded presence. That's why I tell people, you don't just go around all day talking with things or communicating with things. You wash the dishes, you vacuum, you get groceries, you cook, you have a grounded life so that everything falls into perspective. So in those times where something bad happens and you wish you could have done something or it could have turned out differently, you know that you're creating the best opportunity you can for yourself to work and to do the best you can. And that so enters Barbaro. Barbaro was a racehorse who ran in 2006, again in the Triple Crown. And these he won the Kentucky Derby in 2006. He was the first undefeated horse to win the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slough in 1973. And the post parade for the Preakness Stakes 2 weeks later was the first time that I tapped into what I now call the horse's butt theory. And usually the horse's butt theory is pretty fun. Over time, what I noticed after this incident, that I would see on television, I'd be watching a race and I'd see in the paddock the area where they bring the horses in and they put the saddles on and the jockeys get on and they walk up to the track, or the post parade, which is where the horses are walking on the track and warming up for the race, I would see what I'd call a light on the horse's hind end. And I'd called it the horse's butt theory, because I'd like, oh, I see that light and I know that horse is going to win the race, right? So it made horse racing very dull at a time. But it also, as I found out over time, it also gave me information I didn't really want, especially when I couldn't do anything about it. And the first time that really happened was in the post parade to the Preakness, when Barbaro and the other racehorses were walking up to the gate. Now, of course, I wanted Barbaro to win the Preakness because that would move him along this line of winning those three races, and it would be really cool. And that actually never happened again until 2015, when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, and last year when a horse named Justify won the Triple Crown. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun to watch horse racing. But in the post parade, I'm looking for the horse's butt theory, right? You know, and I'm hoping that light shines on Barbaro. And instead, when I looked at Barbaro, there's this blank. It was like he wasn't even there. It was completely blank. And I'm looking at that going like, he's blank. What does that mean? And then watching down the line there, the horse's butt theory lit on a horse named Bernardini. And I went, okay, so that's the horse that's going to win. Bernardini's going to win. Dang it. You know, I wanted Barbaro to win. And why does he look blank to me? Does that mean he's not going to win? Well, then they put the horses in the starting gate. And there's occasionally this thing called a false start, where a horse will break through the gate before the gate is opened. So that's what Barbaro did. He was excited and he pushed through the gate and he ran through the gate, and so all the other horses were still in the gate. So the jockey pulled him up and he went around behind the gate. But as Barbaro broke through that gate, I suddenly knew exactly what the blank was. And I started screaming and yelling at the TV as if I could make a difference. I said, he's going to die. He's going to die. Pull him up. Scratch him. Scratch him. Scratch him. Screaming at the phone, at the TV, you know, just absolutely beside myself, because I could see what was going to happen. And there wasn't anything I could do, even screaming. I actually had my phone in my hand and I'm waving it at the TV. There was no one to call. There was nothing I could do. And when they put Barbro back in the gate and they started the race, 200 yards into the race, Barbro's leg shattered. That was devastating to everyone. And in a normal race, they would have immediately euthanized him, as serious as it was. But instead, his owners were very connected to him. And of course, he was a valuable horse. And what you do in any sort of a breeding program is you want to continue to breed these best horses. And he was a culmination of their breeding program. So of course, they wanted to save him for that. And they thought they could, because there have been advances in medical training. Well, the other thing was that that night, his owner went into his stall and looked at him, and they were caring for him. And she looked him in the eye, and she thought, well, no, he's not ready. He doesn't want to die. And this is the same night that I met the horse healers. As a friend of mine called me up and said, you can talk to horses, so go check in on Barbro. And I thought, okay, I will. I felt like really horrible, but I did. I went to talk to Barbro, and what I saw changed the world for me. And I hope it changes the world for you and how we live in it. As I went to look at our Barbro, I was instantly in this place with horses. It was a blank space, so I didn't see trees or anything. I just saw this blank space, right? And Barbro was there standing in a circle surrounded by horses. So their heads were all pointed to him, and they created this circular shelter around him, so to speak. He appeared to me to be suspended in air, and his head and tail were drooping. I knew we were on an energetic plane, in that, in a sense, Barbro was meditating, that I was not seeing his physical body in the veterinary hospital. I was seeing a place where his soul and the soul of his horse companions were gathered together. So the horses faced him, their bodies fanned out, and they completely and tightly encircled him. No one and nothing was breaking that circle, and nothing, I knew nothing would dare try. This was safe, sacred space, and it belonged to the horses. And I'm standing outside of this and well away from the circle, and I'm totally awestruck. And I'm also like, wow, I don't even belong here. What am I doing here? I shouldn't be here. And that's when one of the horses turned around and looked at me, and it was Smarty Jones. And that's why I included Smarty Jones' story up front. It was Smarty Jones. And he turned and he looked at me, and he said, it's about time you showed up. And he was very firm, but he was also gentle. And I was just like stunned. And I said, I know. And I suddenly did know why I was there, that I was supposed to be there. I just didn't know why. And I said, what are they doing? And he was very sad and resolute. He said, he is choosing. He is deciding whether to live or die, and we are here to support that decision. And I thought of all the injured and ill horses in the world, all living in this amazing community, invisible to us here, but this sacred place that they can go, this invisible network of healers, where some are still in bodies like Smarty, and others of those healers in that circle had passed on, and yet their souls all came together to support one of their own. And Smarty said to me, we do this for all of them. And I thought, every horse on the planet that's injured or ill or is in a position to make a choice about where their soul goes next, they get supported by these horse healers. They were efficient, they were compassionate, they were community. And I was completely stunned. Humans had no place there, and I certainly did not, but I was there, and I was an outsider intruding in a sacred event, and yet Smarty said he'd been expecting me. And I said, what do you want me to do? And he had one word for me. He said, witness. So I respectfully stood outside that circle and watched. And Barbro was not in any psychic pain, at least that I could see. What was going on with his body was one thing. This was his soul. This was Barbro making a choice. And that circle was softly lit, and it was this intense energy field around him. And the horses were singing. They crooned this note, this one note, all in unison, and it was this power of this note, this one single note that they were singing, that bathed and supported Barbro. So it was a power of this note that was supporting him. It was a power to heal. Maybe not the physical body, but certainly the spiritual body, the soul. And I was completely dumbfounded because I could see the power behind this. This is the power of energy healing on display, something that the horses had been doing forever, as long as horses had been around. Do other animals do that? Probably. I can't imagine why not, but the power of the horse healers is amazing. And one thing I did know from watching them was that the power of horses is exponentially greater. The souls that have taken horse bodies just have this more advanced energy healing ability. And I'm staring at this and I'm thinking, wow, horse medicine is more, so much more powerful than human medicine. We don't even come close to that. And I was humbled and awestruck at the power of love and healing, of hope and community that flowed from those horses to Barbaro, well beyond the limits of human medicine, well beyond what we do to support, say, our cancer patients or our heart patients or even a birth. Barbaro was choosing his soul path, and that one note of humming, that compassionate circle of horses, was helping him, supporting him in his choice. And I realized that I would learn from that, and I would figure out how to work with the fact that I knew he was going to be injured and couldn't stop it, to watching how the community of horses stood in and supported their own. And then I felt Smarty turn smile at me, and then I was back home in my body. So Barbaro endured a number of surgeries, and more than 8 months after his surgery, he failed, and they respectfully euthanized him. They couldn't help him survive. He developed laminitis, which is pretty much a fatal condition for a lot of horses. But a lot of people, again, just like they were attracted to Smarty Jones, fascinated by his career of racing, they were attracted to Barbaro, and they were his hospital, his owners were flooded with cards, with flowers, with get well wishes. And certainly it's partly because we emphasized it, we made it part of the news, but also it's this touching, it's this connection to horse energy that we feel and respond to, and this role of horses as a leavening agent where people are connected to them, and we see something that goes beyond our human nature and is a bigger connection to the world around us. So it's a testament to that. It's a testament to the power of love, a testament to the community of horses that were supporting Barbaro's decision to live in May 2006 and then his decision finally to let go in January of 2007. I didn't see it, but I know that they were with him at the end. But the stunning public response to that, grief and mourning certainly, but affection and, you know, contributions to researching laminitis. There's a lot you can say and talk about that you don't like horse racing or you don't like how people ride horses or whatever it is, but understand the connection, the human animal bond and the soul bond that is there between people and horses and their other animal family members. And start thinking about what that means when you see something like the power of the horse healers. And so the next story that will give you another example of what the horse healers are up to is a story of Lost in the Fog, is a champion sprinter of 2005 as a three-year-old. And that it really a testament to his owners who recognized this horse didn't have the capability of running the distances of what we call the Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. And so instead of trying for that kind of glory, they put their horse in shorter distance races, and he was a super horse. He was a champion, and he won a lot of races. And then in August of 2006, after he, you know, started showing signs of discomfort, His trainer shipped him to the University of California at Davis to figure out what was wrong with him. They thought he had colic. When I heard about it on the news, they were suspecting that that he might have cancer, which is practically unheard of in horses. And they were going to do an ultrasound to check it out. So that night I was concerned. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go in and check and see what's going on. And I'd already had the experience of seeing the horse healers at work with Barbara earlier in that year. So I went to look at it, and I again standing outside that sacred circle, that sacred space, which I can just describe as you can't. There's no physical space. It's just the space. You could like maybe say it's clouds or fog or whatever, but it was just this space. It's all I needed to see, but it was different. With Barbaro, the horses were facing him, fanned out in a circle. With Lost in the Fog, the horse healers were lined up, facing each other, creating a pathway between them. And as I watched, Lost in the Fog walked between them down that path and off into the distance. And I was like, oh my gosh, that can't be good, because it was like a farewell. And the horses literally stood there and honored him as he walked off into the distance. And the next day, or day after, a couple days maybe, I don't know, but later it came out that, yes, he did have cancer. And, in fact, it was fairly advanced, and they figured he'd had it when he won some of his big races back in 2005. And they wanted to euthanize him immediately, but his trainer and his family, they took him back to their barn. They made sure he didn't have pain. They wanted him to be surrounded by his family, his people, humans. And ultimately, they just pulled family around a terminal patient. And when he showed signs of discomfort, they let him go. So I recount these stories of horses and community because I agreed to witness. And after the break, I will talk about what we witness, what we can learn from the horse healers. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about lessons from the horse healers. So I've given you this long introduction to how I came to communicate with racehorses and what I learned from tragedies and how the horse healers are there for their entire community of horses. It's an amazing level of energy healing that is innate. I mean, we are humans, we are innately intuitive and we are innately healers. And we haven't really tapped into those abilities so much in the last 300 years. And I'll never stop saying that. And I'll never stop really grieving that we lost those abilities. And so we're trying to get those back and we're trying to tap into those. And there are a lot of people creating energy healing systems. And they're doing it from a human perspective because they like to play with things and send things flying through the air. And they really learning the value of energy healing. But it's a lot simpler than we're making it. And you don't have to spend 2 years doing certification courses in energy healing. You know, that's what it is. But what have we learned from the horse healers, these powerful beings? And we're here on the planet, we're learning to heal ourselves in many ways. And the first way we need to heal ourselves is to learn to love ourselves. And you say love was just a word I didn't want to deal with. And I was wrong. And love is what the horse healers demonstrated to me. So I tell the stories of I've never told those stories before. So today you're hearing it for the first time, the story of Smarty Jones and the Fleet Alex and Barbaro and Lost in the Fog. And there are many more horses. And I'm telling the stories because Smarty Jones asked me to witness when I showed up at a place that humans clearly didn't belong in because I was there, because I was interested, because it happened. And it for me, it was also a lesson because finding out that things are going to happen, earthquakes that I can hear and can't warn people about, I kind of shut off some of those abilities for a while. It's hard when you hear a huge earthquake and you know many people are going to die and many pieces of land are going to be disturbed. It's hard to hear that when you can't help. And we're just not at the point in our civilization where we can really utilize all of those abilities. But the more that we talk about it and the more that we tell the stories of the things that we meet and the experiences we have, the more opportunity we have to come together to redevelop those skill sets that we lost, skill sets that the horse healers never lost because they don't have that level of depth that we have because they never disconnected from their consciousness that allowed them to do this intuitive and healing work for all of their own. And when we do this kind of work, when we meet these different beings, we can, you know, what is our place in the world? How, you know, what could you do and why could you do it? And people are going to say, well, you're arrogant and whatever and all those kinds of things. And I quit asking why me. Why did I show up there and meet the horse healers? Why has no one else met them until I mentioned them to a few other people? But the answer isn't why me. The answer is why not me? And the real questions are, what do you do and how much do you do? And that's why I'm out here talking about what I experienced so that you can go out and have your own experiences. I don't explain myself to doubters. I don't even care. I have a very high success rate as an intuitive. And they say if you have more than a 57% success rate on any endeavor, anyone who is determined who wasn't determined to not be convinced whatever experiment was. So I'm just out there being me. And I think that we need to sit down with scientists and we need to figure out what science can tell us about this. But we also, first and foremost, need to listen to our hearts. We need to listen to love. We need to put aside our prejudices against other non-humans, thinking that they're not as intelligent or capable as we are, because what I have seen from the horse healers is so far beyond what any human can do that it literally brought me to my knees. And very seldom am I brought to my knees. Just ask the gods and goddesses that I work with. It'll never happen. And I was stunned by what I saw, and saddened too that we just aren't at that level of working with energy the way these horses do. And these horses, some were dead, some were still alive. And some of the great beings from ancient times who were in human bodies are now back in these horse bodies. And I was like, why are you back in a horse body? Well, that's the body that they chose to do this work. And it, like my own animal families and the animals of other people that I know, these are subconscious connections. They don't have the doubts that we humans have, and they're able to open doorways and open dimensional energies. They're able to do work that we didn't even imagine exists, and eventually to teach us, to help us get back to the place where we lost that connection and to grow it for ourselves. So this is a place for you get to decide. The horse healers are real. They are magic, as magic has always existed, and they are a lesson to all of us to listen, to question, and to witness. And the horse healers will help us as well. In 2012, my beloved Cavalier Murphy was dying of cancer. And there really wasn't anything you could do. You could go through major surgery and give her an extra month, but at a tremendous cost of pain and suffering, not to mention financial. And against her desire, she said, it's time for me to go. And as she walked this path and they told me she would become increasingly disabled, she wasn't. Why? Because I asked the horse healers to help. And the level of energy healing they are using is the same kind of energy healing that I've learned to use with my clients who come to me for things like soul progression clearings. This is amazing. If you're willing to let go of whatever's holding you back, the healing happens very quickly. It's a dimensional energy. It's an energy of choice and an energy of commitment. So Murphy and her cancer chose to work together, and the horse healers supported her, and she had no pain. She had no disability until the last 3 days of her life. She was supported by them. So what they did with the dragons, who she also worked with, is they let her know she wasn't alone and that death was just another place. And another step on her soul's eternal journey. They helped keep the pain at bay. And she died on her own terms, with love in my arms where she belonged. And it was where I belonged. And the horse healers were there to help us both. So if you're interested in working with these horse healers, it's been over 10 years now since I first met them, and 2019, 15 years almost, and it's time for their story to go out in public and for you to decide what kind of energy you will bring into your life and your animal families and your extended families and your neighborhoods and your communities. We are at a decision point in our world now of allowing energies to work with us and allowing ourselves to work with them, and stopping the energies that are there to hurt and to wound and to maim and to destroy. But if you're interested in the energy of horse healing, understand that it's multidimensional, and you need to be able to stand in multidimensional energy. And it can knock you off balance. I mean, literally, it's like an earthquake like we had here this morning in Seattle, for those people that got awakened by that. The world won't look the same to you, but you will be amazed and you will be awestruck and you will realize how amazing the universe is and how little we humans know of it because we're so focused on what we are as superior beings and what our science tells us. And you need to put that aside. The horse healers are real. Reality exists. It's substantially different from the world we think it is. There's just more to reality than we realize. And this is one of those things, that they can support their communities and that each single horse, every single horse on the planet gets supported by this community. Oh my gosh, what would that mean to us if we could even begin to tap that level of healing for all of the humans around us? How would we treat each other? How would we live in a world where we're reaching out and crooning that one note of love and healing that helps another soul in a human body or an animal body in our families or whatever, or our house body or a tree body? Make the choice that it needs to make in that moment, to live or to die, to grow or not to grow, to choose love or not. So the ultimate lessons from the horse healers: take care of yourself, take care of each other, love yourself, love others, live in a world of equals where everything has a soul, is equal to us, is conscious, has a job, free choice, and opinions. Don't be arrogant, be full of wonder. Ask for help when you need it. The amazing horse healers will help. I was shy about asking them to help Murphy, but I also wasn't going to not ask them, because of how much I love that dog, how much we'd been together, been through together for many lifetimes. And the horse healers honored both of us by stepping forward and acting like it was normal to ask a horse healer for help. And maybe it is. So let this story go out into the world and take some of the lessons with it. You don't force energy healing on anyone. And a lot of people are doing that. They discover that they can have energy and work with energy, and so they think, oh, I'm a healer and I should go out and I should heal this and heal that. You force energy healing on something or someone, you really set things back. Instead, offer it. You know, if it's accepted, fine, and if not, fine. When people come to me for sessions, they're ready for that change that allows them to shift fundamentally, instantly, and it's amazing. Because why? Because they've given love and hope and compassion a chance for themselves and for the world around them. The horse healers, that community, the sound of their community, that one note of humming is bearing witness. It's an innate skill of healing. Hang on to that for yourself, for your loved ones. It's what they do. And they're here in that I'm taking this story public means that it's time for this story to be taken public. And it's time for you to figure out where you fit into this healing environment. And what that means to you and your family. And that you can tap this innate energy healing on your own, because this energy is here and available. And this multidimensional energy has come back into the planet more than 10 years ago. Again, it's a different type of energy. It's multidimensional, but it's also an energy of choice. You can invite it to work with you. It's sentient. It's extremely powerful. And yes, I meant sentient. So you can chat with it. You can talk with it. And just imagine what the horse healers are doing. How can you replicate that in your own lives? And the more we do that, the more leavening we send out into the world. The horses, the racehorses that I've met, these horses that became famous and many of those who didn't, they're the leavening agents. They're there to remind us that the world is bigger and more magical and more amazing than we know, and to step back into our souls and remember our souls and what we did in previous lifetimes to grow in love and compassion. So take that with you today. And when you experiment with this, send me an email to my website at robinfritz.com and let me know how you've experienced the horse healers and how you've changed in your approach to putting hands on yourself and healing yourself and your loved ones. because they invited it, because you invited it, and because that is where we're going in the world, peace and love and compassion and kindness and growth, soul growth, always soul growth. So thank you for joining me today, and I thank the horses for sharing their stories. And I have a number of different shows coming up here in the coming months. And if you're interested in my work, you can contact me at my website, robynfritz.com, robynfritz.com. That's personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life and between life regression, soul progression clearing, spiritual awakening, spiritual journeys, there to help you on your journey. And as we close out today, let's close that connection to Fallon, getting you grounded back into your body. An exercise that was taught to me by a goddess: cross your hands on your heart, breathe in that healthy energy, take it out into the world. Be brave, be compassionate, love yourself, take care. Join me again on August 5th. Take care. Goodbye.